diving in, hydrating ourselves, being ready for anything that God sends our way. Number one, diving into salvation. I hope that's true of you tonight, that you can say that you know for sure that when you die, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. And if you're unsure, hopefully we can get that settled tonight. And you that are Christians, we want to talk about your deepening your commitment to the Lord and everything that's going on. Paul, in this chapter, is writing to Timothy. Paul really mentored Timothy in his walk with the Lord. And he was giving him some words of encouragement. And he says to Timothy, chapter 4, in verse number 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And this verse number 6 is really the key verse of the whole chapter. And Paul is saying to Timothy that, he says, if you put these things in remembrance, then you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about being a good minister of Jesus Christ tonight. It's not meaning that when we say minister, we're talking about the preacher, the missionary, that person like that. But a minister being any Christian, really anybody that is a proclaimer of the truth of Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ, if you will. So we're going to talk about how to be a good minister of Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to do that by a lot of different ways. And Paul really kind of outlines the chapter real easily in chapter 4. He says, first off, if you're going to be a good minister, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful of the lies that are out there. We talked this whole week about being confronted with truth. Truth is found in God's Word. It's not truth just because the preacher said it, the Pastor Jimmy, Pastor Eric, myself, or any other pastor. It's not true because they say it. And now we believe that I believe, I know these two guys, I know that they're preaching truth, but it's not truth just because they have said it. It's not truth because I have said whatever I've said this week. It's truth if it's found in God's Word. So Paul is telling Timothy, he says, be careful out there because Satan is at work amongst the brethren, amongst the Christians. And if you want to, let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 4. We already read 6, but let's read the first 5. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them, which believeth and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and with prayer." So Paul is warning Timothy to be careful because Satan is at work in the church, that there was false teachings all around. And they're really, as I stated earlier, if you're going to listen to anything, I had a professor in college, he challenged us with this. He said, don't accept it because someone has said it. You accept it because you found it in God's Word. That you know what you believe because you've read it in Scripture. You found it in Scripture. You've learned it that way. And understand this, that all truth, no matter if it's in the Bible or not in the Bible, that anything that is true is from God. God is truth. Everything that God says is true. And it says in verse number 5 that everything is sanctified by the Word of God and with prayer. So if you're doubting something, you're like, well, I'm not really sure if this is true or not, then pray about it. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. James says that he man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And so if you're going to apply everything we've learned this week, really apply it because you've heard it, and now you're going to study it for yourself in Scripture, and you're going to pray about it and say, Lord, show me your way and what you want me to do so that I can remember that which I've been taught. You know this, the greatest lie that Satan has ever told the Christian or anybody is that there's more time. You always have more time. And I hear that a lot. People say, well, I can serve the Lord when I get older. I can serve the Lord after this or after that. There's always tomorrow. You know what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The book of James also says that our life is as a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So you've got to be careful out there. Don't just believe things because you think it sounds good or whatever. Believe it because the Bible says that it's true and that you know that it's true. And so the second thing Paul says is that we need to exercise our spiritual life. In verse, we've already read 6, let's skip on down to 7. It says, "But profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Bro, Jimmy, we don't have to run every Tuesday and Thursday. Him and Brother Eric about killed me. I get off the plane after I've been flying all night. They say, hey, we're going to meet and go running. Great. I haven't ran in forever. I've about passed out on the track. Luckily, it was a cool day. Bodily exercise profiteth very little. It's not that it's not necessary, but it does very little when you're talking about your spiritual life. And he says, that having the promise of life, that now is and now which is to come, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. And if you're going to really train yourself, for many years I was a basketball coach. I loved playing basketball when I was in high school. Had the opportunity while I was a youth pastor in Alabama to coach basketball. That's probably one of my favorite sports. And to really be a good basketball team, you've got to be conditioned. You've got to exercise. You've got to be able to run many distances, because you're running back up and down the court. And if the other team was in better shape than you, chances are they're going to score more basketball than you, because they can keep running more and more than that. So I challenged my guys that I coach. I said, you got to be disciplined in your eating habits. I can't make you eat what you're supposed to be eating. That's what you got to do on your own. I can't make you drink the proper liquids that you need. I asked them, from the time we started basketball till we ended, I said, let's put off drinking our sodas. Let's put off drinking our other drinks. Let's drink water. Make sure that you're getting plenty of hydration. And so I challenged them with this. And you've got to have discipline to be able to do that, to be able to eat right, to exercise right, to stay in the shape that you need to play this sport or play any sport. You've also got to have a devotion. You've got to love to do it. You've got to love to get out and do that. And I used to love running. The last 2 weeks, I have not loved it so much. It's a little bit hotter than I was ready for. And so we'd start off with Brother Jimmy and Brother Eric, and I made it half a lap the first day running with them, but I kind of fell back because I wasn't in the shape that I needed to be in. I really wasn't excited about being out there. So I started walking slower and slower and slower. And they started laughing at me. Why? Because I really wasn't into being out there. I enjoyed the time and fellowship that we had the few times that I was with them. I enjoyed the being outside, but I really wasn't into running that day. I really wasn't into that. And if you're not really in love with what you're doing, you're not going to have the same passion about it. It would be very easily for me, the last couple of times when Pastor Jimmy had given me an option, I probably would say, I don't want to run today. But they're excited about it, so they like to do it. And so that was your discipline, yeah. That was you have devotion on. You exercise yourself with it. You're gonna do it a little bit better. And so Paul says, the bodily exercise profits very little, but exercise your spiritual life. Will you have the same devotion, the same discipline to get up every day, whether you feel like it or not? And there's going to be days where you don't feel like serving the Lord. You don't feel like a Christian that day. But God says, it's not because of that. It's because you're disciplined enough to know that you need to spend time in God's Word before you do anything else that day. You need to make sure you're spending time in prayer. Make sure that you're being an encouragement to other believers. And make sure that you're living the Christian life. And you gotta, it takes devotion to serve the Lord the way He is. And I think sometimes we're more devoted to other things than we are to the Christian life. That's why our faithfulness to services aren't as regular as they could be. That's why our witness in our areas of our school and everywhere that we go isn't as great, because it's just not a high priority for us. And Paul is warning us, be careful of the lies, exercise your spiritual life, because we've given up that. And then the third thing is to give yourselves. Verse number 11, it says, these things command and teach. So Paul is warning Timothy. He says, all these things that I've already told you, command and teach those things. Do these things in front of everybody else. And then he goes on and says, the last little bit that I'm going to give you, he says, command and teach these things also. In verse number 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, But be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So if we're gonna give ourselves, what are we gonna give ourselves to? Give ourselves to the Lord and serving Him. And you know what? When you do that, there's gonna be critics that are in your life. And so the first thing that Paul is saying, when you give yourself to the Lord, you've gotta put off those critics, those people that criticize you for what you're doing. They may question, well, why are you doing this? Why are you going to church all this time? Why are you reading your Bible so much? Why do you talk about Jesus? Why do you do this? And so then they'll start to criticize, well, you don't need to do that. You can do that later. You know, you're too young to serve the Lord now. Wait until later to do this. And many excuses going on and on and on and on. And the years that I was a youth pastor, it just aggravated me. The parents or either some other people in the church that would criticize young people that wanted to serve the Lord. And you know what? It's sad to say that there are people that are out there, and they're going to say, we don't want you doing this, or you shouldn't be doing this. You've got to wait until you're older. You've got to wait for this, or wait for that, or whatever, and then tell you, you can't do this. God doesn't want you to do that. And they'll start to try to talk you out of living for the Lord, talk you out of serving the Lord, talk you out of coming to church, talk you out of doing small things or big things for the Lord. But Paul says, let no man despise your youth. Let no man do that. Don't let anybody discourage you from serving the Lord. Now, that's the most important thing that you can ever do. Give your life to the Lord and then serve Him. It says, be an example of the believer in word, in conversation. Be an example in your conduct, your lifestyle. The words that you say, the life that you live, the actions that you do every day. Be an example to everybody else. And so when they criticize you, you just ignore it and say, you know what, I'm doing this because God wants me to. God has called me to do this, and God wants me to serve Him. And I'm going to be a good minister, and I'm going to be an example to you, whether you like it or not. I'm going to live my life the way God wants me to, not the way anybody else does or not. And so I kind of read between the lines. I think Paul is encouraging Timothy. He says, Timothy, do you want to be good or do you want to be great? You want to stand out amongst the crowd, or do you just want to fit in? You know, it's very easy to fit in with everybody else. Jesus says that broad is the way to hell, but narrow is the gate to salvation. You know, there's very few people that are willing to stand up and live for the Lord. There may be a lot that profess Christ, but there's very few that are living it. Very few that are having that example in front of everybody else that are out there. And so, nothing is impossible for the one who refuses to listen to the voices of reason. And so if you are not going to try to explain what you do and not try to think about what you're doing, you're just going to do it because God has said to you, then nothing is impossible for you. You've got to be willing to change. Someone once said that only thing that brings forth growth is being willing to change, willing to for God to get a hold of your life when you give yourself to Him and Him to start chipping away the parts that does not look like you. He wants these things to go away, and He wants to make you in the image of Him and to do that. And you know what? There's a lot of people may know of the success of Henry Ford. He is the founder of the Ford automobile. I believe it was early 1900s when he made the automobile, the inventor of that first one. And many people know that success that he has, the great company that he created. But very few know this, that the first automobile he had did not have a reverse. There's no reverse on it. So he couldn't back up. The car could only go forward. So he realized, hey, I've got to change this, because there's times when you do have to back up and turn around and other things like that. I've learned that very well this week. Brother Jimmy, he's turned in some places I never thought a van could turn around in. But success and growth are always unlikely if you always do things the way you've always done them. You've got to be willing to change and let God grow you into a better person. So quit complaining and then just let God get a hold of your life and just be willing to do something for Him. So give yourself to Him. You can't listen to the critics. The second thing is you got to apply yourself to knowledge. Verse number 13, Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You got to integrate truth. That says you discover the truth when you're uncovering the fundamental unity of God's creation. The truth is something that we do as we create ways of thinking about, ways of worshiping, and ways of applying God's truth in our lives. So he says to give attendance to this. Give attendance to reading. Reading what? Reading Scripture. Scripture is the most important thing that you can read. It should be the most amount of something that you read. Is your Bible. Applying it. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you need to really listen and heed and apply God's Word in your life. And take time every day to read it. If you want a reading schedule, you talk to Pastor Jimmy and Pastor Eric, and they'll probably help you as far as, you know, what things you can read. And I know there's some parts of the Bible that are hard to understand. You know, I've been saved for 20-something years. I don't really know. But it's... I've read the Bible through a number of times, and there's parts of the Bible I still don't understand. I read it and I'm just like, what are they saying? I have no idea. So I have to go and read people that are smarter than me and look up stuff and other things like that. And there's still stuff that you know. I don't think anyone ever would admit, I know everything there is to know about the Bible. I don't think anybody would say that. But it's still it is a welcome knowledge that's there for us to read and know. We know it because we want to know more about God. We want to know more about the one who created us, the one who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, the one who is wanting to have a relationship with us. And that's his way of speaking to us, is the Word of God. So we need to give attendance to reading. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, one of my favorite verses about the Bible, it says that it's quick and powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the thought. I can't even read my handwriting. It is dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Kind of mumbled it, but Hebrews 4 and verse 12 is a great thing talking about the powerfulness of God's Word and how great it is in our life. And I think you should read good books. Brother Jimmy, Brother Eric probably have some books that you could read about great missionaries, about great people of old, and things that they did for the Lord. And just being ready to read. Give attendance to exhortation. That's comfort. That's an encouragement to one another. Brother Eric mentioned that great Wednesday night about being an encourager to other people. John Maxwell once says, strive to make others around you better every day of your life. Be an encouragement to those that you come across. Whether they're Christians or not, encourage them. Encourage them in the love for the Lord. Encourage them in their walk for the Lord. Encourage them to be saved, to know more about the Lord, and everything else. And then also to teaching. I think you should mentor someone. No matter what your age, you know, there's someone younger than you that God would want you to be a part of. Invest your life. And this is what Paul did with Timothy. This is what you could do with a younger sibling, a younger friend, or something. And as they get saved, you know, really mentor them in the faith, help them walk with the Lord. And so the other thing I think you need to do is to find your spiritual gift. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by the prophecy, laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And so I believe everybody is given a gift. A gift of some sort. The Bible talks about many spiritual gifts that we have. And I believe at the point of salvation, you know, you can really begin to understand what those gifts are. I don't know what those are for you, and mine are different than Brother Jimmy's, and mine are different than Brother Eric's, and Brother Eric's are different than Brother Jimmy's, and everybody in here have different gifts. Some of them are the same, some of them are different. But you know why God gives us gifts? He gives us gifts so that we can in turn use them to glorify His name, to uplift His name. To be a blessing to the ministry here at the church, to a ministry out in the community and everything else, so that you're using your gifts to further the gospel. You're using your gifts to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I think that's what Paul wants of us to do, so that you can get the right person in the right place. And when you know what your spiritual gift is, you know what? Then you know where God's gifted you to be able to serve. You know, give me absolutely no good deed. Join the choir. God did not give me a voice to sing. I make a joyful noise. That's about what it is. It's a noise. It's not a very good noise, but it's a noise that I lift up to the Lord. Sometimes my wife says it's a little too loud, but that's not my gift. But you know what? I do know where my gift is, and I know where I can use it. I know where I can apply it. So I encourage you, if you're like, well, what is a spiritual gift? I have no idea. That's another sermon. You can talk to Pastor Eric, Pastor Jimmy. They'll be more than happy to help you with that. If you have the internet, you can look at elmortalents.com. That's a great place. It will take you about 5 minutes. It'll help you understand what your gift is. But it says, neglect not that gift. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. Don't not use it for the glory of the Lord. So God gave it to you for you to be able to serve. And then the next to last thing is to advance yourself. Verse 15 says, to meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all men. Expand yourself. Take time just to meditate on God. I think many of us probably will admit that I do give a little bit of time to reading the Bible each day. I give a little bit of time to prayer. But how many of you give time to just meditate on God? Just to sit down and think about God. To think about who He is, about what He wants to do in your life. And just to get away from everything, get in a quiet place, and let God just speak to your heart. And think about the verses that you've learned. Think about the messages that you've heard in the last little bit. Think about other things that are going on. And just let God expand your mind, expand your territories, begin to dream big for the Lord. You know what? Someone once said that when God stretches you to a point, you know, there's no going back to the same as what you were. You know, God wants you to advance, to keep growing, to keep going. And to keep serving Him. The one who is afraid of doing too much is the one who always does too little. So if you're that one that never does enough for the Lord, then it's because you're just not wanting to do more and more for the Lord. But let God keep growing you, keep advancing you, and keep doing those things. And so unless you see beyond the point of where you're at, you're never going to grow beyond where you're at that point. And so you've got to, as you walk with the Lord and you begin to serve Him, you will begin to let Him advance you and take you on to the place that He wants to be. And then the last verse, I think we need to remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful to your faith. Remain faithful to your church. Remain faithful to your Lord. And just stay doing what God wants you to do. Verse number 16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so God wants you to remain faithful. He wants you to continue in that truth that you've been taught. Continue in the things that God has shown you this week. Continue the things that you'll continue to learn throughout the time. You know, we'll always remember John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, where it says, continue in truth. You shall be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. And so by you staying in that truth, always being in that truth, God says He'll take you to where you want to be. Let me close with a poem that I heard about us being faithful. It says, I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he reads me in my home, tomorrow on the street. He may a relative or friend or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, yet he is reading me. To learn if I am living and walking as I pray, he is watching closely just what I do and say. Dear Christian friends and brothers, if we could only know how faithfully the world records just what we say and do. Oh, we would write our records plain and come in time to see our worldly neighbors one to Christ while reading you and me. That's by Pearl Anderson. And the thing that goes great with what Paul said in verse 16, that when you continue in this, continue in adoption, continue in the truth, you won't save yourself, but you'll also save others also. I mentioned it time and time again about letting Christ impact your life, that you influence other people along the way to do the same exact thing over and over and over and over again. And being a person of influence, taking the faith and the things that you've learned to grow in Christ and to do this. So what are the blessings of being a good minister of the faith? Number one, there's a conscience that you can live with, a creed you can live by, a cause you can live for, a company you can live with, and a consummation that you can live towards. So we must be a good minister of Jesus Christ. We must allow Him to just take our lives and to just be the people that we need to be. So let's stand. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.